fellow Austenites, I think you've demonstrated by your applause just exactly how much you've appreciated Mr. Treblecock's speculative but challenging and provocative examination of auto-erogenous tendencies in Jane Austen. His address, I'm sure, prompted numerous questions from among the delegates. Hmm? Oh, no questions? Well, in that case, ladies and gentlemen, the session is concluded. And I'm happy to inform you that we now adjourn for 30 minutes.
An Impression of Mr. Darcy by Martin Wade. With Barbara Flynn as Barbara and Robert Glanister as Kevin.
I was in the hotel lounge when I first saw her. It was the first morning of my 3-day residential course, and I'd just been released for a coffee break. I only caught a brief glimpse of her, but it was enough to make me put down my cup and follow her as she walked through the lounge. She went into the lift. I went in. We were alone together. I decided I was in love. My name's Kevin. I have a small position with a large and hopelessly antiquated business organization. I could have said that to her, I suppose. It might have done all right for openers, but in fact, I didn't say a thing. As I was saying, though, my name's Kevin, and my large and hopelessly antiquated business organization had decided, in desperation, to send me on an information technology update course with hands-on facilities. We passed the fourth floor, reached the fifth. The doors opened and she got out. I hesitated. The doors started to close. I dashed through the gap. Somebody said in a loud voice, "Did you arrive today?" And I suddenly realized that that voice must belong to me.
I beg your pardon?
I just wondered whether you had arrived here today.
Yes, I did, as a matter of fact. Excuse me.
Are you thinking of staying long?
3 days, that's all.
Oh, really? You're exactly the same as me, then. Arrived this morning, 3-day stint. The rooms are very smart, aren't they? Mine is, anyway.
Yes, mine is, too. Very smart. Well, nice to have met you.
And you. Maybe we'll meet again. Going up in the lift. Or going down in the lift.
Yes.
Or in the lounge. Or in the bar.
Yes.
Goodbye. What about tonight?
I beg your pardon?
Tonight, meeting again. You and me. A drink, perhaps?
It's possible, yes, maybe. I don't know. Well, very nice to have talked to you. Goodbye.
My name's Barbara. I'm a Jane Austen aficionado. That's almost all I need say about myself, really. This is an annual thrill for me. The 3-day convention, I mean. Hence my attitude, or lack of it, towards the young man. On the one hand, I had no wish to appear antisocial, but on the other, I didn't want him making a nuisance of himself, if you understand me, and spoiling the highlight of my year. We did meet up that evening, though. I was on my way to my room again, intending this time to turn in. I saw him in the reception area. He seemed to be engrossed in contemplation of a display of hyacinths. But as I headed towards the lift, he sprang out in front of me.
Ah, we meet once more. Hello.
Hello. Are you going up?
I'd rather not. I'd rather go to the bar. And rather than go to the bar on my own, I'd much rather go with you. What do you say? Little nightcap?
Well, I don't know. I was planning to go to bed early. I have a very full day tomorrow.
Oh, yes?
I'm attending a convention, you see. 3-day affair.
No. Good heavens.
Oh, you too?
Incredible. Never occurred to me. I didn't notice you in any of the sessions today. Wasn't looking out for you, it's true.
I was right at the front.
Ah, well, there you are. I was right at the back. Amazing.
Yes.
Well then, I'll see you tomorrow morning, no doubt. 10 o'clock kickoff, I believe.
No, 9:45.
Oh, really? Right, 9:45.
My name's Barbara, by the way.
Kevin.
How do you do?
Not bad, thank you. Taking the lift?
Well, I was, but would you mind very much if I said I wanted to change my mind?
Not at all. Good way to keep fit, climbing stairs.
No, I meant about the nightcap.
Oh, I see. Great. Terrific.
The discovery of our common interest, I decided, put an entirely different complexion on things. There was nothing to be lost, surely, by using our mutual enthusiasm for Miss Austen as a basis for an amicable, innocent, and yet satisfying relationship. One does, after all, have so few amicable, innocent, and yet satisfying relationships these days.
Lemonade, Shandy, for the lady, and half a bitter for yourself.
Thanks very much. And could I have a couple of packets of nuts, please?
Yes, sir.
I was almost in a state of shock. She'd come with me to the bar after all. Why? Was there some stirring of affection for me, or had she suddenly decided she was thirsty?
Nuts.
Pardon? Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Well, cheers.
Yes, cheers. You're a first-timer, aren't you?
First-timer? Oh, at the convention, yes, that's right. Wasn't liking it too much to begin with, but it's picked up quite a bit, I must say. Yes, I'll come again if they let me. What do you think about information technology?
Information technology? I don't think I think about it at all. Not if I can help it.
Nor me. It doesn't appeal. I don't even like using the phone. Well, it's very smart here, isn't it? Very smart.
Yes.
Would you like some nuts?
Thank you. You know, I'm...
Yes?
I'm going to have to think very hard about who you are.
What do you mean, who I am?
Oh, it's a little game I play. A diversion from more serious studies. The aim is to identify people one meets with appropriate characters from the novels.
Novels? What novels?
Well, all of them, really. But P&P if I can.
P&P?
It's my favourite. Easily. Now, let me think. Well, you'll be relieved to know you're not Mr. Collins, anyway. You are relieved, aren't you?
Oh, yes.
Good. That's a relief.
More nuts.
You can guess, of course, who I prefer to be.
Mm.
It's not that she and I are that much alike. In fact, in many ways, we couldn't be more different. Unfortunately. Dear, sweet Elizabeth. She's everything one could wish for. Lively, playful, witty, well-liked. At least by those who one would like to like one. Of a generally happy disposition, but capable, at the appropriate times, of experiencing great perturbations of mind and discomposure of spirit. Capable, too, of course, of falling very much in love. Oh, I'd love to fall in love like Elizabeth Bennet. I'm sorry. This all sounds rather silly.
No, no, not at all. More nuts.
I don't suppose many people will be able to understand. I mean, I spend a lot of time imagining I'm Lizzie. Well, you might be able to understand because you've read the book. Well, I assume you've read the book.
Oh,
yeah. Right. So you know just what a vividly drawn character she is. She's real. She is. Isn't she? More real than most people I know, anyway. What do you think of her?
Me?
I'm always interested in the male attitude towards Lizzie Bennet. Actually, I gather the session tomorrow afternoon might touch on the theme.
Really?
I hope you don't mind me talking shop. It's funny. On most topics, I'll shut up like a clam. Clothes, houses, jobs.
Information technology.
That's right. But
well, what about current affairs? Summer holidays, gardening, hot air ballooning.
Ballooning? I suppose it was becoming quite common practice by Jane Austen's day. Or was it? Somehow I can't imagine Jane in a hot air balloon, can you? Tell me, Kevin, who's your favourite man?
Favourite man?
Yes, from all the books.
Oh, good heavens. I need notice of a question like that.
No, come on, off the top of your head. Who is it?
Well, look, Barbara, I'm afraid There's been a sort of mistake.
What do you mean?
Well,
you're here under false pretenses, is that it? You don't really like Jane Austen. You're an Emily Bronte fan. You're a spy.
No. Actually, I'm in the wrong convention entirely. Well, no, it's the right convention, but it's not yours. I'm doing information technology.
Oh, God.
I know. It's dreadful. I'm hating every minute of it, but there we are. What's a lot worse is... But I've never read any Jane Austen in my life.
Oh, God.
Well, I nearly did. In my O-level year, but Mr. Holroyd opted for Charles Dickens instead. I got a grade C for English Lit. I was quite pleased with that.
There was a long silence. I felt utterly duped. He'd been playing me along. I was upset. I was angry. But I confined my remarks to the statement that I now knew exactly which of Miss Austen's characters Kevin most resembled, namely Mr. George Wickham. Naturally, though, the point of this unflattering comparison was completely lost on him. So I may as well have saved my breath. I said good night and left.
Barbara, Barbara, a thought just struck me.
Really?
I could read one of her books.
Yes, you might manage it.
P&P, perhaps, I don't know. Maybe, if you had a copy, you could lend it to me. Would you mind? You might, of course. I'd understand that. But if you didn't, I could start reading tonight. I'd rather like that.
So this was how one wormed one's way into another's good books. Well, I had to admire his cheek.
It had to be worth a try. What I was thinking, to myself, I mean, was that in any kind of relationship, it's useful to have your terms of reference. And in this particular case, it seemed most appropriate for them to be P&P. That's Pride and Prejudice, by the way, but you knew that. I went to my room and began reading. It wasn't that bad, really, P&P. Lots of dinners and dances and meeting eligible young men and falling in love and that sort of thing. But it made a change from Isaac Asimov.
Miss Bennet, I would never claim that I was not to be laughed at. Why, the wisest and the best of men may be rendered ridiculous by a person whose first object in life is a joke.
Certainly, Mr. Darcy. But though it is true that I dearly love a laugh, I hope I never make fun of what is wise and good. Follies and nonsense do divert me, I own. But these, I suppose, are precisely what you are without.
Madam, that is perhaps not possible for anyone. But I have always aimed to avoid those weaknesses which expose a strong intellect to ridicule.
Such as vanity and pride, Mr. Darcy.
Elizabeth was lively, playful, witty, etc., just as Barbara had said. Mr. Darcy was haughty and disagreeable and got right up Elizabeth's nose. There were lots of sisters, other relatives and friends, and a great deal of to-ing and fro-ing. But the big question was, who was Lizzie Bennet going to fall in love with and marry? By midnight, I've reached chapter 15, and I was, I admit, just beginning to wilt a little when a new character came into town.
I'm delighted to make your acquaintance, sir.
Miss Bennet, believe me, the pleasure is entirely mine. Entirely mine.
I hope you'll find your stay in these parts agreeable, Mr. Wickham.
It shall be more than agreeable, I assure you. If, that is, I'm granted the privilege of your frequent company.
Wickham. Wickham. The name rang a bell. Oh, yes. Barbara's remark in the bar. Wickham was me. Or rather, I was Wickham. I read on. I became rather excited. Mr. George Wickham, I discovered, was a young man about to join the local regiment. He was a good looker with a nice line in chat, and he had numerous female admirers, one of whom, in no time at all, was Miss Elizabeth Bennet. The significance of Barbara's reference to Wickham was now obvious. Barbara felt a powerful yearning for me, but she was only able to experience it in terms of her identification with Elizabeth. Me, Lizzie, you, George. Her remark in the bar, in other words, was a coded message of love. Yes! I became rather excited.
The opening session of the new day was a comparison offered by Miss Rowena Rattenbury between the single woman of Jane Austen's works and her real-life modern counterpart.
Girls today, for instance, who wish to become acquainted with members of the opposite sex, and some of us still do, you know, are not required to sit for hours at the card table, go for long walks around the grounds of a country house, or visit Bath and stand in the middle of the pump room.
Miss Rattenbury's thesis was that things overall had changed for the better. And I have to say that, to my own great surprise, I found myself beginning to agree with her. There was a time, in fact, it was as little as 2 days ago, when I'd have argued that the social restrictions of Miss Austen's day had their benefits. But now, I wasn't so sure. Maybe, it occurred to me, Lizzie Bennet wouldn't have minded being accosted by a strange man in a lift.
Tell me, madam, did you arrive today?
This morning, sir, which is precisely as I had intended. My faith in public transport remains undiminished.
And are you intending to stay some while?
3 days, sir.
3 days. What a happy coincidence. I, too, arrived this morning, and 3 days is precisely the proposed duration of my visit here.
A foolish little daydream, I admit. But this, I'm afraid, is how I was. I couldn't stop thinking about Kevin. Oh, don't misunderstand me. I hadn't fallen desperately in love with him, but I did wonder whether my earlier notion of identifying him with Mr. Wickham hadn't been slightly unfair. At coffee break, therefore, I decided that at the very least, I'd show him there were no hard feelings.
Morning.
Morning.
How are things?
Fine, fine. What about you?
Oh, fine. Chapter 21.
Oh, P&P. Good heavens, you are doing well.
I like it. I like it a lot. Not very different from soap opera, really. I particularly enjoy the bit where Mr. Collins proposes to Elizabeth and she tries to tell him to get stuffed.
Oh, yes.
Poor old Collins. Never stood a chance. Not with Wickham around. Wickham's the man, that's obvious. And Elizabeth's madly in love with him, that's clear enough, too. The only thing is, I don't suppose he's got a lot of money. But he's going to come into some sooner or later, so that'll be all right.
Oh, I see. And how does this happen, do you imagine?
Well, it's obvious. It's this business of the legacy which Darcy's dad wanted Wickham to have. Darcy's eventually obliged to play fair and hand it over.
Ah.
Of course, the only reason Wickham takes what's his by right is that he wants to marry Elizabeth, and her parents haven't been too keen on the idea because he didn't seem that well endowed. Financially, I mean. Mm-hmm. Have a biscuit.
Thank you. Well, it's an interesting scenario.
Yes, and not too wide of the mark either. I'm confident of that. What about lunch?
Lunch?
Not now, at lunchtime. Lunch, together.
Yes, that would be lovely.
And after that, if there's a few minutes left before the afternoon session, we could... Well, I don't know, we could go for a little stroll.
Oh, yes. A walk around the grounds. Perfect. We had our meal together. Mutton. Very tender. And went outside. It was a lovely day. The sky was punctuated with cumulonimbus. Sheep were grazing in a distant field, patiently waiting their turn to be lunch. By the time we were on our ninth circuit of the croquet lawn, I decided I wanted to tell Kevin I loved him. Or liked him very much, or quite a bit. But somehow I never got the chance.
He can't possibly marry Miss King. It's out of the question.
I beg your pardon?
Chapter 26. Wickham's intending to marry this woman and win 10,000 quid into the bargain.
Oh, yes. Kevin.
He doesn't marry her, does he? It all comes right in the end. Surely he has to.
Kevin.
Who is this Miss King anyway? I don't remember her. I mean, she sprung out of nowhere.
Kevin.
Very fishy. In fact, if I didn't know Wickham better, I'd say he was after Miss King for her loot. Now, what do you make of it? Well, of course, you read the book, so you know. But you have to admit, it's very disconcerting.
Yes, it is. Kevin.
Oh, well. Tell me we're going back, I'm afraid. Now, what would you say to joining me for dinner tonight? It was just before dinner that the big shock came. The last session of the day had finished, and I dashed up to my room for a quick spell of P&P. Chapter 34, and there was Elizabeth receiving another proposal of marriage. From Darcy, of all people, and turning the fellow down flat. Well, that was a bit of a surprise for a start. Darcy proposing, I mean. But it was nothing compared to what was to come. The morning after the proposal, Elizabeth was taking a stroll down a country lane in an attempt to recover from the events of the previous day when a man suddenly called out to her.
Miss Bennet! Miss Bennet!
Mr. Darcy?
Yes. Mr. Darcy. He approached her and held out a letter which Elizabeth instinctively took. There was a look of haughty composure upon his face.
I have been walking here some time in the hope of meeting you.
Indeed. Then I trust I have not caused you excessive inconvenience.
You have not, madam. But you can do me the honor, if you will, of reading that letter. I will say no more. All that I wish to tell you is written there.
Sir,
read the letter, madam. Do me that small service. I will leave you now. Farewell.
That letter, I'm afraid. It was a very long letter, by the way. Put Mr. Wickham and his complaint of ill usage at Darcy's hands in an entirely new light. If Darcy was to be believed, and I had a horrible feeling that he was, Wickham was nothing but an untrustworthy rogue and an unscrupulous, greedy rascal who'd had his cake and wanted to eat it too, and who then tried to get off with Darcy's sister so that he could make his fortune from her and cock a snook at Darcy at the same time. As I said, it was a big shock. Not just for me, of course, but for Elizabeth, too. The poor lady went wandering off for 2 hours trying to take it all in, and I suppose I might have done the same if it hadn't been nearly time for dinner.
Kevin was a little late for dinner, so while I waited for him at the corner table, I allowed myself a reverie. An innocent enough way of passing the time. Believe me, You are so dear to my heart that the merest sight of you drives me to a kind of distraction.
Oh, can it be true? For these feelings that you describe are the very same that you arouse in me.
No. This is like a dream.
Sweetheart, most precious.
Most sublime.
Most divine, delectable.
Ineffable.
I decided to cheat. Now that Wickham looked a no-hoper, I thought I'd save myself hours of anguish and take a peep at the last few chapters to see how it all worked out in the end. My palms were sweaty. My mouth was dry. Who, I wondered, is the man for Elizabeth Bennet? I mean, assuming there is one, of course, and we haven't been led up the garden path. I turned the pages. My eyes raced along the lines. I found the answer. You won't believe it. I mean, you really won't. Not unless you've read Pride and Prejudice already. The gentleman was none other than Mr. Fitzwilliam Darcy himself. Can you imagine? Proud, haughty Mr. Darcy. Oh, now there was a turn up for the blasted book.
I awoke from this absurd daydream with a strong conviction that dear Lizzie Bennet was outliving her usefulness. I resolved that for the time being, therefore, I should think as little as possible about being Miss Bennet and as much as possible about being me. This is the real world, I told myself, here and now, you and Kevin. It was at this very point of my deliberations that Kevin entered the dining room. He was moving in a stiff, awkward fashion, rather reminiscent of my boss after a game of squash.
Good evening.
Hello, Kevin. Has anything happened?
I'm sorry?
You seem to be walking with some difficulty. I wondered whether you'd had an accident. Do sit down.
Well, she'd noticed my entrance anyway. Head held high, body erect and unbending, hands clasped behind the back. So far, then, so good. Actually, I felt I was starting to get into the role already. My plan, like all the best plans, and some of the worst, was simple and audacious, to achieve what they call a vault farce. Stop being Wickham, if ever I had been, and start being Darcy. I figured, you see, that if Barbara got a kick out of playing at Miss Lizzie, then she'd be bound to respond favourably to an impression of Mr. Darcy, Darcy being the man who finally wins Lizzie's love. Simple, don't you think? Audacious, too. We began our meal.
Mmm. It's very nice.
I beg your pardon, did you?
The veal cutlets.
Ah, yes. I was late this evening.
Well, just a little.
Nope. 10 minutes at least. But I won't apologize.
How are your dumplings?
I've tasted better. But then I've also tasted worse.
Have you ever had haggis?
Never. Why?
No reason. It's much better than it looks. You referred to ballooning yesterday.
I did.
Hot air ballooning. Have you ever tried it yourself?
No. I am happy to tell you I have not, nor do I feel a particularly powerful inclination to do so. But have no fear. I'll advise you if I change my mind.
Well, what about pets?
What about them?
You don't happen to have any, do you?
No.
A parrot? A ferret?
Nope. No pets. I live quite alone. Not only that, but I never go ballooning. Next question.
Well, very soon it was all over. An innocent, amicable relationship or whatever. Not that it had ever begun. He'd obviously put on his pleasant Kevin act the previous day in order to get to know me, and now that he did know me, he'd decided that he'd much rather he didn't. Well, I hurried through the rest of my meal, and then told him I had to go. No bitter words. I kept very calm. Why, I thought, should I give him the satisfaction of knowing that he'd upset me? Well, not that he had upset me. Not that much. Or if he had. Well, if he had, then I was well rid of him. Adieu, I declared, to disappointment and spleen.
Many of you may be wondering, though, how all this affects communication between the modified workstations. Particularly in respect of conversation mode for two-way online.
Well, there was at least one delegate who hadn't been wondering about modified workstations. My mind was entirely on Barbara and my lack of success so far with the Darcy plan. Of course, it didn't need a genius to spot the problem. Darcy, the insufferable brat, I could do him all right. But Darcy, the brat who isn't really such a brat, but in actual fact is a rather decent fellow, now that was a different matter. So I abandoned the Darcy plan. Even I could tell I was getting nowhere. I saw her at moments during the day, but only from afar. By 9 o'clock, I'd slunk off to my room.
Kevin.
Good God. Well, this is a surprise.
I'm awfully sorry. I really am. I would have waited outside, but I had no idea how long you'd be, and the door was open, so I came in. I hope you don't mind. I got your room number from the desk. I wanted to retrieve my book, you see.
Oh, heavens, P&P, yes.
I'm leaving quite early in the morning, so I thought I'd better collect it now.
Very wise. I'm sorry about the room. It's a bit of a state. Oh, here we are.
Many thanks.
No, thank you. Most instructive.
I can't help thinking. It's all rather Elizabeth at Pemberley, isn't it?
Is it?
Elizabeth goes on a guided tour of the place, not while Darcy's there, of course. That might have looked as if she'd changed her mind and was setting her cap at him.
Yes, or her bonnet.
You know, you weren't much fun at dinner yesterday.
Yes, I'm afraid that may be true. It's possibly the result of being thoroughly arrogant and odious. Not unlike the first impression given off by Mr. Fitzwilliam Darcy. Well, that was the idea, at least.
I'm not quite with you.
The thing was, I wanted to hit it off with you, but as I didn't think I was getting anywhere, I formed this simple but audacious plan. I decided that if you didn't like me as Kevin...
Oh, I see. Darcy to my Elizabeth. What a lovely idea, Kevin.
Yes, I was quite pleased with it too, until I tried putting it into practice. Oh, never mind.
Shall I tell you what happens next?
What do you mean?
After Lizzie's been round the house.
Oh, right.
Darcy arrives.
I should have guessed. How embarrassing for her.
Yes. But you see how life imitates art. I'm standing uninvited in your room. In you come, quite unexpectedly. I feel some discomfort at the situation. We talk in a strained fashion, just like Elizabeth and Darcy. It's extraordinary.
Hmm. So what happens now? I mean in real life, not in the book.
Well, that depends, doesn't it? In the book. They go for a walk in the grounds.
Ah, yes. Well, they would, wouldn't they? We're not doing that, though. We've done that.
And then Darcy does something which Elizabeth finds extremely surprising.
Oh, yes.
He invites Elizabeth to meet his sister.
Great, terrific. That's the stuff.
Elizabeth regards this as an enormous compliment, but I admit that the gesture might seem to be something of an anticlimax for modern taste. Actually, it's occurred to me in the last day or two that the works of Jane Austen, P&P included, don't always provide the ideal model or inspiration for contemporary behaviour.
Quite. I mean, to take one example, I don't happen to have a sister. So what am I supposed to do now?
Well, there are, it should be borne in mind, any number of literary models from which one could use. It doesn't have to be Jane Austen. It could just as easily be, well, D.H. Lawrence. Say, if you felt that way inclined.
Not read him, I'm afraid. But from what I've heard, I'm sure I am. That way inclined, that is.
Mind you, life doesn't have to imitate art.
Now there's a thought. We could make it up as we go along.
Might be worth a try.
Nothing certain. We don't know the ending. And even if we did, we wouldn't know how to get there. But I'm fairly confident about how it starts, at least. I close the door. Right. We're on our own.
An Impression of Mr. Darcy was written by Martin Wade. Barbara was played by Barbara Flynn, and Kevin by Robert Glenister. Elizabeth Bennet was played by Elizabeth Ryder. Mr. Darcy, Richard Durden. Mr. Wickham and Barman, George Parsons. Miss Rattenbury, Jennifer Piercy. Chairman and technology expert, Gerard Green. The play was directed by Cherry Cookson.